Goedemorgen.
En heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Het is de week voor Pasen en volgende week hebben we een bijzondere paasuitzending. Dit keer in Hour of Power als spreker Bobby Schuller. En hij spreekt over een gebeurtenis die fascinerend is. Jezus loopt rond in Israël. Heel veel mensen volgen hem. Er komt een hele rijke man naar hem toe. En die zegt, goede meester, wat moet ik doen? En dan zegt Jezus, geef alles wat je hebt weg en volg mij. En dan loopt hij met een beteuterd gezicht weg. En Bobby Schuller spreekt daarover. Michael Schitchell, een van de koorleden met een prachtige stem, zingt samen met het koor. En we hebben een wereldberoemde gitarist uit Amerika in de uitzending. Hij is predikant in Las Vegas en speelde onlangs in de Carnegie Hall. En niet minder beroemd is Marcel Tiemersma, een Nederlandse gitarist die fantastisch speelt. En hier komt vertellen hoe hij muziek gebruikt om mensen die niet meer te bereiken zijn, kan bereiken. Kortom, een boeiende uitzending van Hour of Power.
Discover America's Television Church as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. Let's begin this morning with a prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, and we're so thankful, God, that we are shepherded by you, that you hold our lives in your gentle hands, and you care for us, and you love us, and we trust you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seated. In preparation for this morning's message, hear these words from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done with His blood. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to you. And if I gain any praise, let it go to
Michael Skidgel and the choir, thank you. That was awesome. We're so happy to have this morning Mike Rayburn. Mike has all sorts of genres and talents, including being a guitarist, a comedian, a professional speaker, and even an actor, I think, at one time.
I don't know about that. Okay. Every time I walk on stage, I'm an actor.
Yeah, so, sure. And now a big part of a church and a mission in Las Vegas.
That's right.
And he's a guitar virtuoso, and you've had 8 performances in Carnegie Hall.
That's correct.
And standing ovations.
Yes.
How did you start your career in guitar? I mean, why guitar?
It's interesting because I'm from a sports family. So my family's all football coaches and wrestling coaches, and I did all that, but I had this little guitar habit on the side that was my sort of escape from a crazy family.
Were you the only one? Nobody else had music?
Correct.
Just you?
Yeah. And so, but I knew early on, it's one of those things when God gives you a gift and you kind of know it. I knew from 8th grade, I knew this is what I'm going to do. And so I just kept at it. And what I always tell people is it's time with the instrument. It's time. You just keep at it. You keep moving forward. You know, you were talking about in the reading there about the perseverance.
Yep.
It's exactly what it is. It's you keep at it, and that's how it's kind of worked for me.
And that's great. And so did you have a teacher? I mean, did you teach yourself, or how did you go about learning?
I taught myself at first, and I taught myself for a long time. But now as a professional speaker, what I've learned is really to get to move to those next levels and to really progress, you might as well quit trying to reinvent the wheel and go back and learn from the people who have already learned. So I started, there was a point where I made a decision to start taking lessons, to start studying with other people and learning all I could from others, which really made a difference. I kind of sharpened the learning curve.
There's something unique about your guitar playing, or something, a special technique or something.
Yes, you're about to hear that in a moment, where I actually tap on the fretboard without, as a professional speaker, I teach to ask the question, what if? You know, to open up possibilities. What if we could? What would it look like?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, what if you could play without strumming or picking?
What if you could play guitar without strumming or picking?
And you can, by touching the string with one finger. And it ends up allowing your fingers to do a number of different parts at the same time, which you'll hear in just a moment.
Yeah, and I think we heard just a tiny bit of that, a small taste of that.
A little bit.
At the end there, maybe.
Yes.
Well, great.
Harmonics.
Now, you're a believer. You're Christian. And how did that happen? It was while you were playing guitar, right?
Yes. Well, in fact, the story, I'll give you the abridged version, but I had gone through a number of hard times during college. And actually, it was a prayer. I heard somebody preaching one time, and I just thought, well, there's some reality to this God thing, but I wasn't ready to accept it. So I said, okay, God, take me to where I am. Take me to where I'm ready. And the next 4 years were a series of events that took me to the point where, you know, I'm one of those hardheads who had to be on his knees to do it.
Yeah.
And so
you really went through trials and suffering and
all of that. And I really felt lost. I felt it at the end. And so I drove home, and I, instead of going in the house and doing something bad, I just ran up on this hill, and I said, okay, God, you got me. You know, if you're real, I'm here 100%.
Why did you say, okay, God? What convinced you to go to God and not to go to those other things?
Well, I had been to, I'm paraphrasing the story, but there were a number of other incidences where I had prayed, and the things that I asked for had happened, not maybe the way I had thought they would, but where, like, I needed, this horrible thing had happened, and I needed to somehow get some sleep, and I'd never thought, okay, they say place your problems in God's hands. And I thought, academically, that's a nice idea, but I'd never done it.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'll try. I got nothing to lose. And it worked. And I thought that was the first time I really thought there was a tangible reality to God in an interactive relationship in my life, rather than some ethereal sort of idea.
Yeah.
And so I had already, I had done that, I'd gotten open to that idea, and then I talked with a pastor about it. I don't think of it as religion so much Christianity as a relationship. It's a relationship with me and my Savior.
Exactly.
But as an outsider,
I mean, outside people say religion, and inside people say relationship, and that's part of the correction, right?
That's the challenge,
because
people don't realize it. Jesus wasn't crazy about religion at all.
That's right.
It was the religious elite that he couldn't. He had a lot of contempt for.
In a way, it's religion that put Jesus on the cross.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's, in fact, you mentioned the mission in Vegas. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to present, hey, there is a God who cares about you, who wants an interactive relationship in your life, who wants your abundance in life. And it's not this religion thing.
Yeah.
It's not this ceremonial thing. It's this real relationship.
Okay, now we need to hear more about this. So you're a part of a ministry now. So you've had that whole experience playing guitar, and you sort of experienced God in this new way. Now the Lord has brought you, not just for being a believer, but now you're in ministry in Las Vegas, of all places?
Yeah. And
tell us about that. That's exciting.
That was not in the goal-setting part of my life.
It never is, right?
No, it isn't. I moved to Vegas for a show. I had my own show for a while. But really, I think the reason was I ended up, big God thing, but I ended up meeting some people who were starting a church called Verve. Verve is a word that means passionate, enthusiastic life. And so the idea was, we started with a biblical center, absolutely biblical foundation, and threw everything else out. We don't have a choir, and we don't have an organ. We have a rock band, and our church looks like a nightclub.
Yeah.
Okay? It's still the core Christian message, but we have we start with a cover song, like a current rock song. We'll do a lot of things that some churches wouldn't be crazy about.
Yeah.
But the idea is, there are people who are so far from God that they would never walk into a church with a steeple. Or they've been burned by religion. You know, people who practiced it wrongly, we all know those.
Absolutely.
And so we're aimed at those people who are way far from God. So we have atheists, we have gang members. If you're tattooed and you got piercings everywhere, come on in.
Yeah.
Okay? And we want to be welcoming to these people. So the idea is to present them with Christ, to give them a place for them to encounter Christ in a safe environment.
Yeah, we're not being judged or people saying all these things. It sounds like a large part you're removing a lot of the Christian subculture from what you see as the essence of what we believe as Christians.
Exactly. And it's interesting because you get the people who are way far from God, but they're passionate about whatever that is.
Yeah.
When they do find that reality, they're passionate believers.
Yeah.
They go all the way in the other direction.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing. And so the church is called, I say church, it's actually a mission to Sin City.
Yeah.
And it's called Verve. And you can find it at vivalaverve.org.
Yeah. Viva la Verve?
Yes.
Great.
Which means live the life.
Yeah, great. And it also reminds us of Viva Las Vegas.
Exactly. Anyway. That was not a truth lost on us.
Yeah, sure.
We figured that out.
So, I mean, it's an incredible story you're telling. You were a guitarist. You are a guitarist, I mean, but that was your identity, and it shifted to being a guitarist who maybe plays for the glory of God, and now you have this ministry to people that feel left out of the church, and God is blessing you and using you in that. And as we begin to end the story, there's millions of people listening to us talk now. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing, if you could tell them anything, the one thing you distill from your story and your experience?
I would say, God delights in who you are. You have a unique set of abilities and experiences that no one else has, and God can use you. God wants your abundance in life. God wants great things for you.
Yes, of course.
And so I would invite you, whoever you are, whatever you're dealing with, to open your mind, your heart to that possibility. Just entertain it. In fact, in our church, we'll even say, for those who are really doubters and really out there, we'll say, pray this prayer. God, prove it. I'm open to it. Prove it to me. Show it. Come on in. I'm willing to at least entertain the idea.
Yeah.
If you can come to that point, the greatest promise in the Bible is seek and you'll find.
Yeah, that's
seek
right.
And you'll find, and you will.
Well, what a great encouragement to all of us, Mike, as we're listening to your voice. I mean, I'm even just thinking about how, in some ways, that's what we want to do. I mean, part of television is an outgrowth of just trying to meet people where they're at. And I hope that God continues to use both of our ministries, but in particular yours. I hope God continues to bless you. And what's now the largest or one of the fastest growing ministries in Nevada, from what I hear. I mean,
we are growing, and we're reaching a lot of people. We're rather than rearranging the kingdom, taking from other churches, we're trying to increase the kingdom.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, we're so blessed to have you, and we're so thankful, Mike. And we're going to be hearing some more music from you as well.
Thank you so much. This is great, and I love what you're doing, and I love the chance to finally be a part of it.
Thank you, Mike. We're so blessed, and we look forward to hearing from you again and more of your music.
Thank you. Yeah,
and, of course, as Mike is getting all set up, he will be at the Welcoming Center after the worship service, and you can go and visit with him. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Rayburn. Thank you, Mike.
Fantastisch om een dienst mee te maken in de Crystal Cathedral. En voor velen is dat een droom. Die kan ook werkelijkheid worden, want 31 mei vertrekken er inmiddels vele tientallen Hour of Power kijkers uit Nederland naar de Crystal Cathedral, naar zonnig Californië. Het wordt een bijzondere reis, want we gaan de dienst meemaken in de Crystal Cathedral. Een persoonlijke ontmoeting of meerdere ontmoetingen met Bobby Schuller. We gaan samen zingen en repeteren met het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. We gaan naar San Diego, naar SeaWorld. We gaan Californië verkennen. Kortom, het wordt een hele bijzondere reis. Speciaal voor de kijkers van Hour of Power. En kijk even op onze website, daar staat alles over deze reis. En natuurlijk is het hoogtepunt om daar in die Crystal Cathedral te zitten, het grootste orgel ter wereld te zien en te genieten van muziek. En vanmorgen hebben we ook een beroemde gitarist, en dan in Nederland. Maar misschien gaat hij ook nog wel eens in de Crystal Cathedral spelen. En goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Hoe is het met jou?
Het gaat goed.
Ja?
Ja.
Kijk. Ja, ik vind het ongelooflijk leuk dat je vanmorgen bij ons bent. Je pakt gelijk al je gitaar.
Ja, jij kijkt er zo naar, dus ik denk van, ik pak hem gelijk. Het is natuurlijk, het hoort er wel bij. Maar,
Zou het een droom van je zijn om ook te spelen in de Crystal Cathedral?
Ja, dat is wel een droom. Ja. Het is wel een heel mooi gebouw en als je daar komt, dan word je er wel door heel veel mensen bekeken. Dus
wereldwijd.
Voor de promotie. Ja. Dus als je nog een goed woordje kan doen, dan hou ik me aanbevolen.
Nou, de kijkers kunnen in ieder geval heel veel van jou zien op YouTube.
Ja.
Je geeft veel concerten in ons land. Je speelt de psalmen, gezangen, geestelijke liederen, opwekkingsliederen, zie je ook regelmatig in bijvoorbeeld Nederland Zingt. Wat boeit jou daarin?
Wat me boeit vooral is dat het geestelijke lied heeft iets van die diepte die de klassieke muziek gewoon toch ook wel heeft. Maar de hymns die hebben van nature iets van, daar zit een soort lijden achter.
Ja.
Ze zijn niet voor niks geschreven. Vaak hebben mensen hele nare dingen meegemaakt en vertaalden ze dat in een lied en in een melodie. En dat hoor je. De melodie is vaak heel simpel, maar er zit zo'n diepte in het lied dat je denkt van oké, hier moet ik iets mee. Dat spreekt me enorm aan en ik wil dat vertalen naar mijn gitaarmuziek.
En zoals? Wat noemen ze niet?
The Deep, Deep Love of Jesus in het Engels. En die gaat dan ongeveer zo.
Dat is eigenlijk in Nederlands, liefde was het onuitputtelijk.
Klopt, ja. Kan dan weer zo mooi de melodie spelen. De melodie gaat eigenlijk da-da-da-da-da. Maar de gitaar kan je ook begeleiden. Dus als je het samen doet, dan krijg je...
Ja.
En dat is heerlijk om te doen. Dat is heerlijk om te doen.
We leven zoals op de christelijke kalender staat in de Lijdenstijd. Volgende week is het Pasen, het feest van de opstanding. Wat betekent dat voor jou?
De opstanding betekent voor mij dat er een eind aan het lijden komt. En de dood is overwonnen. Dus ik denk heel veel mensen weten, als je aan ze vraagt van wat is er, wat gebeurt er na dit leven, dat ze niet weten wat er is. Van ja, we zien wel.
Ja.
Mijn stellige overtuiging is van dat die dood overwonnen is. Dat het doorgaat hierna. En dat, ik vind een van de mooiere bijbelteksten is van dat de tranen van hun ogen gewist zal worden. En ik heb wel veel nare dingen meegemaakt. En dan denk ik van ja, die tranen die... Straks is het niet meer en daar kijk ik wel echt naar uit. Want verdriet is wel, vormt je wel. Als ik terugkijk op mijn leven, denk ik van het heeft me echt gevormd. En heel veel dingen had ik niet willen missen. En ook in mijn gitaarmuziek denk ik dat heel duidelijk te horen is. Dat wat me gevormd heeft, dat door de snaren, dat ik dat weer door kan geven aan andere mensen.
Want dat doe je ook op een bijzondere manier. Nou, speel je bijvoorbeeld voor mensen met Parkinson of mensen met dementie die moeilijk of niet meer te bereiken zijn. Wat speel je dan? Wat doe je dan?
Nou, een heel mooi voorbeeld is bijvoorbeeld dat ik ooit eens voor een vrouw heb gespeeld die op sterven lag. Ze had nog maar 10 dagen te leven. En de dominee vroeg aan mij of ik mee wilde gaan en haar bed wilde spelen, want ze hield heel erg van muziek. En op het moment dat ik speelde, het was een beetje zoals in de harp van David. Ik moet hem even ontstemmen. En ik speelde heel rustig. Gewoon dit soort akkoorden. En... je zag die vrouw echt gewoon helemaal tot rust komen en ontspannen. En ik dacht van, dit is eigenlijk het mooiste met muziek om te doen. Het hoeven niet die grote concertzalen te zijn, maar dat iemand geniet van die muziek en tot rust komt. En ik heb een paar keer voor haar gespeeld En daarna overleed ze. Maar dat zijn wel momenten die zijn in mijn geheugen gegrift. Echt.
In Bijbelse tijden werd er ook al op snaarinstrumenten gespeeld. De citer, de harp, was een beroemd instrument. Koning David speelde op de harp. Dus het is al een ongelooflijk oud instrument.
Ja, de snaarinstrument, zeker de klassieke gitaar, is natuurlijk toch pas van de 18e eeuw. Maar ik heb me wel heel veel door de psalmen van David ook toch laten inspireren. Gewoon het idee dat hij zich terugtrok en dat hij ging overdenken waar hij mee bezig was en dat in een lied stopte. En hij was ook gewoon echt een goede harpist.
Ja.
En behalve een goede krijgsman kon hij ook heel goed spelen.
Nou, de man was koning van Israël, was inderdaad een geweldige krijger.
Ja.
Iemand die fantastisch muziek maakte, want hij heeft ooit voor koning Saul moeten spelen toen hij het helemaal niet meer zag zitten.
Nou, dat is het.
Toen kreeg hij nog een speer naar zijn kop gegooid.
Exact, ja. Ja. En dat is het inspirerende verhaal, hè, dat Saul toch tot rust kwam toen hij speelde.
Ja.
En dat is het mooie wat er gebeurt. Dus door muziek, ik vind het altijd ook echt iets transcendents. Er gebeurt iets en ik ga dat niet verklaren en heel veel wetenschappers die kunnen dat ook al niet verklaren. Maar er gebeurt toch wel iets heel bijzonders en dan denk ik, laat het maar gebeuren. Weet je. Mensen komen tot rust. Dus bijvoorbeeld zoiets als dit. Het gaat denk ik om rust nemen, om tijd nemen. En het gaat om het moment dat ik deze akkoorden speel en ik voel die melodie, dat er gebeurt iets van binnen wat eigenlijk doorgegeven wordt aan mijn vingers. Dus ik kan hem op twee manieren spelen. Zo, dan kom ik net uit bed.
Ja.
Dan oefen ik die techniek en dan is het allemaal mooi en iedereen denkt van nou, wat speelt hij mooi. Maar op het moment dat je er een gevoel in legt, klinkt het. En dan neem je weer tijd. Het gaat vooral om rust nemen, om de toon te laten klinken, om de rust die je eigenlijk van binnen voelt uiteindelijk, dat die rust wordt doorgegeven aan je instrument. En dat is lastig, want je moet eerst je instrument beheersen natuurlijk, voordat je die rust kan doorgeven. Dus dat is wel de keerzijde van de medaille.
Je geeft les op de Hogeschool Ede.
Ja.
Zijn jonge mensen erg geïnteresseerd in de gitaar?
Niet per se in de gitaar, maar wat ze wel interessant vinden is hoe ze muzische middelen, en daar valt dus muziek onder, maar ook drama, beeldende vorming, hoe ze dat in kunnen zetten om contact te krijgen met mensen waar ze anders of verbaal heel moeilijk contact mee zouden krijgen. En dan denk ik aan verstandelijk beperkte mensen, Alzheimer patiënten. En dan wordt muziek ook heel adequaat ingezet.
En daar geef je echt les in, dat je zegt zo doe je dat.
Ja. Methodisch.
En er zijn echt jonge mensen die zich daarop willen bekwamen.
Ja, zeker. Maar behalve de muzische vakken krijgen ze natuurlijk ook de andere methodieken. Maar het vormt wel een heel belangrijk onderdeel in het pakket. En wordt steeds vaker ingezet ook.
Weet je, dat ik dat nauwelijks wist.
Ja?
Dat vind ik heel bijzonder. Ja, maar muzici zich inzetten voor mensen die eigenlijk niet meer bereikbaar zijn. En waar muziek toch nog zo'n belangrijke rol in het onderbewuste speelt.
Nou ja, een heel, heel mooi voorbeeld is bijvoorbeeld kinderen die in de oorlog hebben gezeten, die echt een oorlogstrauma hebben en de meest verschrikkelijke door de hel zijn gegaan en niet meer kunnen praten. En dan gaan de muzisch-agogische werkers, die gaan er naartoe en die gaan met ze tekenen, muziek maken en dan worden ze weer kind. En dat neemt een maand in beslag en ze worden blijer en blijer en ze gaan weer praten. Maar je gaat niet naast een kind zitten en zeggen van, vertel nou eens wat over die oorlog. Je gaat met het kind weer spelen. Je leert het kind weer op gang komen. En dat is door het non-verbale. En de kinderen veranderen gewoon. En het is zo mooi om te zien. En hoe dat werkt. Hoe dans en zang dan werkt. En hoe dat weer een effect heeft op die kinderen.
Ja. Ja. Nou, jij doet het allemaal. Ik vind het fantastisch hoe je muziek maakt. Hoe je inzet voor anderen. En je noemde net de man die 150 liederen heeft geschreven. Die allemaal nog dagelijks worden gelezen. Wat komt er bij je boven als ik zeg een psalm van David?
Psalm 42, als een hert dat verlangt naar water. Maar het is dan wel de bekende versie. En ik heb daar dan een bossa nova van gemaakt. En die klinkt ongeveer zo.
Dus stijgt het in de combinatie.
Het is altijd heerlijk om ritmes te spelen.
Ja.
Een klein stukje gaat zo.
Ja. Thank you.
soort. Dus je hoort de melodie erin. En dan ik lekker met de bossa nova akkoorden eronder.
Heerlijk. Ja. Ik heb ongelooflijk van je genoten. Ik ben blij dat je hier vanmorgen wilde komen. En ik geef je graag een herinnering mee aan deze uitzending. Het is een Bijbels dagboek, inspiratie en motivatie voor elke dag, 365 dagen.
Dankjewel.
Goud op snee, mooie verhalen van de oude dominee Schuller.
Hartstikke bedankt.
Ik ga nog een aankondiging doen, want er komen twee belangrijke Amerikanen naar Nederland. Misschien wil jij dat even begeleiden.
Uiteraard.
Why not?
Ja. Achtergrondmuziek.
Ja. En als eerste kondig ik aan dat, ik heb het al meer verteld, dat dokter Tony Campolo naar Nederland komt. Een paar weken geleden misschien zijn preek gezien. Ik kan fantastisch spreken. En je kunt een mooie avond met hem meemaken in Hoofddorp. Alle informatie op onze website. En dan komt op 24, 25 en 26 april Bobby Schuller, die u bijna elke zondag op televisie ziet, naar ons land. Om vervolgens te spreken in Alphen aan de Rijn, Apeldoorn en Stadskanaal. En ook iedereen is daar van harte welkom, jong en oud. En nu gaan we zien hoe we Tony Campolo kunnen zien en horen.
Hij vliegt de hele wereld over en hij komt nu naar Nederland. Tony Campolo spreekt miljoenen mensen aan met de Bijbelse boodschap. Hij brengt deze met humor, enthousiasme en passie. En u heeft nu de kans om deze bevlogen spreker live mee te maken. Kom op 19 april naar de Meerkerk in Hoofddorp voor een unieke Hour of Power avond met Tony Campolo. Beleef het Hour of Power gevoel met prachtige samenzang en muziek. Een kans die u niet mag missen. Bestel nu uw toegangskaarten. Ga naar onze webwinkel of bel ons.
Thank you.
My favorite story in the Bible is the story of the rich young ruler because it paints the perfect story of the human condition. A young man comes to Jesus and he has everything materially that he needs. I mean, he has all sorts of money. He probably comes in fine clothes, on a beautiful horse. And he comes to Jesus with all of his things and he says, Lord, I want eternal life. And Jesus says to the man, okay, he says, what must I do, Jesus? And he gives him a bunch of commands to do, essentially the last 5 or 6 commandments of the 10 commandments. You know, honor your father and mother, don't steal, don't commit adultery, so on and so forth. And the young man says, I've done all those things. And you get the sense from the man that he still doesn't have what he wants. I did all of that. I did it perfectly to the T. And then Jesus begins with the bigger issue, the first 4, which is to worship God. And he says to the young man, all right, go sell everything you have. Give all this money and all this treasure to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. And now Jesus lays before the man a choice. He reveals to the man that maybe he loves money and material things, which are good things, but maybe he loves those things more than he really loves eternal life or whatever it is that he's searching for. And the story ends as a tragedy because the man walks away sad. It's the only time in literature I think I've ever seen where it says, and the man walked away sad because he had so much wealth. Do you realize what Jesus was offering this young guy? He was offering him something that no amount of money could buy. He was offering him to become a disciple. And at that time, one of the 12. You know, if he had said, all right, Jesus, I will sell all of my things, I will give it to the poor, I will become a penniless pauper to prove to you that I care more about you than about this stuff, and I will follow you, that man would now be known by every single person in this church by name. He would be right up there with Peter and John and Paul. We would know his name. He would have lived the most incredible experience right at the right hand of Jesus, watching him perform miracles, learning from him, witnessing his resurrection. But no, he will just forever be forgotten as just some other guy who had some money and chose his money over something that was really meaningful and powerful. And that speaks to me because, you know, I want money, I want great experiences, I want security, but how much do I want Jesus more than I want those things? And if I were that man, would I have sold those things to follow Christ to the very end of the road? Or would I have just been forgotten in posterity as just some guy that said no to Jesus? I don't want to be that kind of person, do you? See, the man didn't really know what he wanted. He didn't know what he wanted. So here's Jesus, on the other hand. When Jesus enters ministry, he's offered everything by the devil in the desert. There's 3 temptations that Jesus is given. First, the devil tells Jesus, hey, if you're really the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. I mean, that's a temptation for Jesus to sort of meet needs and not have to work and this, you know, desire to be relevant. I mean, you think Jesus wanted to be hungry? You think Jesus wanted to meet, or do you think he wanted to meet people's needs? Of course he wanted those things, but he wanted something more than that. Next one was for Jesus to leap from the tower so that all of his peers could see that he was powerful and he was the Son of God. You think he wanted people to know he was the Son of God? Of course he did. But he wanted something more than that. And the devil says to Jesus, bow before me and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth and everything will be accomplished right now. Do you think Jesus wanted all of the kingdoms of the earth? Of course he wanted those things. But he wanted something more. He wanted the kingdom of God to be at hand. He wanted the kingdom of God to be present in the body of every single person who believed in him. He wanted to defeat death, hell, and the grave. He wanted to turn history for the benefit of good. And so because that was the one thing he wanted, all other desires had to take a knee to that. That one desire, Jesus' one primary goal, to go to the cross, to teach us, to be resurrected, to defeat death, hell, and the grave, put everything else as secondary. And Jesus says to us, the eye is the lamp of the body. This is one of these weird things from the Sermon on the Mount. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. What Jesus is talking about here is desire. It's about what you want. He's specifically talking about what it means to have treasure in heaven. And so here we are. It's like we want eternal life, but we also want treasure. We want eternal life, but we also want to bend the rules a little bit. We want eternal life, but we want these other things, and so here we are, torn, fractured, broken, lonely, and we never get anything we want, do we? That's why Jesus says in the same breath, take the narrow road. For wide is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and only a few will find it. And the few, and this is me talking now, the few that find it are the ones who say, eternal life, fullness of life, a meaningful life is worth all the struggle, all the difficulty that comes with having to say no to so many other things. And that is real power. That is real power. That's what power is in the kingdom of God. And you see, this is what your soul really wants. This is what everybody really wants. And that's the thing. Everybody wants to know and be connected in communion with God. But we don't think we want that. It reminds me of my daughter, Haven. She's a 3-year-old, and she's grumpy sometimes, and she's particularly grumpy when she needs a nap. And if you ask her, Haven, what do you want? She'll say, I want to play, or I want to watch TV, or I want a cookie, but she's being grumpy, and you know what she really needs. She needs a nap. And if you say to her, Haven, you want a nap, don't you? You want to take a nap. She'll say, no, 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 I don't want that. You see, that's precisely what she wants and what she needs. And so instead she says, I want all these other things, or I don't know what I want, or I want this, or I want that, or give me this, or that. And you know that none of those things are going to help. Give me a toy, give me a snack, give me a TV, take me outside, right? In the end, she needs a nap. She doesn't know what she wants. And then you take her and you lay her in bed, and it's like before her head even hits the pillow, she's asleep. That is, in a way, what the human condition is like. I don't know what I want. I want this. I want that. Give me this. Give me that. And if you get it, you're like, I want this. Oh, no, I got that. Okay. I want this. Oh, I got that. Oh, well. Give me this. What you want, what your soul wants, my friends, is the kingdom of God. What your soul wants is to know God in His fullness. What your soul wants is to know the purpose and the calling of your life that is only given by God to you. What your soul wants is that empty hole to be filled with the glory and love of God. And until you fill that hole, nothing else will have meaning, nothing else will matter, nothing else will suffice. It will only be a band-aid. It will only be a short little blip. It will never be the cure. Never. Only one thing cures the human heart, and that is the fullness and the love of God. Only that, my friends, only that. The kingdom of God, that's the only thing. And so I say, so I think about my own life, that's what I want. I want eternal life. I want eternal life that doesn't just come when I die. I want the eternal life that begins today. Eternal living. I want eternal living. I want to live in God's kingdom. I want to know the fullness of His calling. I want to live for Him. I want to live the right kind of life. I want to do the next right thing. I want to be side by side with Jesus, bearing His easy yoke, living in the meaningful fullness of His kingdom, submitted to what He wants in my life. That's what life is about. And that requires great sacrifice, struggle. It means saying no to the things that the world always says yes to. It means things like turning my cheek to my enemies. It means like giving away my anger to the Lord. It means that my yes is yes and my no is no. It means that I do my works of charity in secret. It means that I'm a different kind of person who doesn't judge, who doesn't cast his pearls before swine. I'm a person who prays only for God to hear, not for others to hear. It means that you live in God's fullness and calling, that if God asks you to give up everything for his kingdom, you say, I will, Lord, and with joy. I don't want to live a worthless, safe, survival kind of life. I want to live for something bigger and more meaningful. I want to live for you, Jesus. That's what life is about. You think it's somewhere else, it's not. You're lost. Lost. It's in him. That's the only place it is. And I tell you, as a man who is living in the kingdom of God, that the invitation is always there for you. Everything I do in my life, and everything we should do in our lives, all the other wants that we have, and we have them, submit to this one want. I want eternal life. I want eternal living. I want the kingdom of God. Well, you say, well, Bobby, I want to want the kingdom of God, but I'll be honest with you, I don't really want it. How can I want the kingdom of God? Well, the way that you want things in life is by really experiencing their fruit. It's kind of like mayonnaise cake. Yes, I said that right. My mom makes all sorts of delicious pastries. Her best pastry is mayonnaise cake. And I love this because everybody, it sounds disgusting, right? Most people don't like mayonnaise anyway, but then putting mayonnaise in cake or on cake or however, whatever that looks like sounds horrible. And so my mom makes this thing called mayonnaise cake, and I always tell people, you've got to try a slice of this. Please just have a bite of this. And everybody always says, no, not in a million years, not for $100. I would never try your mother's mayonnaise cake. And what they don't realize is that the mayonnaise is just a replacement for eggs, and it gets baked out, and it makes it the most moist, delicious chocolate cake you've ever had in your life. There's no mayonnaise flavor in there. There's no mayonnaise on it or in it. And even when you tell people that, they still don't want to try it. But then every single person that tries the mayonnaise cake, every time they see my mom, they say, when are you making it, the mayonnaise cake again? I look forward to having a taste. And so it's everybody's, it sounds like something horrible. And then when you try it, you're like, this is the best cake I've ever had. You see, you have to experience certain things before you really know how good they are. And if you want to want the kingdom of God, you need to be around God and his people. That's why it's important. If you want to become a kingdom kind of person, you need to spend time with people who are walking in the easy yoke of people. People that bear the fruit of the Spirit, not religious people, and there's a difference. People that bear the fruit of the Spirit, not legalistic people. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the people that if they know Jesus and they're filled with his Holy Spirit, are living in the kingdom of God, and you can experience the fruit of their lives. The 12 apostles, they wanted the kingdom of God because they were with Jesus. People that hung out with the 12 apostles wanted the kingdom of God because they knew what they were like, and that's how our faith has truly spread. And that's why hypocrisy and legalism is so dangerous and destructive. You say, I've been to church, I've been around religious people, and they're anything but loving, and they're anything but happy, they're anything but peaceful and gentle, they're mean. They treat me Jim, help me out. What's a word I can use in church? Garbage. Like garbage. They treat me like garbage. You know, this kind of thing. You know, you say, I know what church folk are like. And I'm saying you've been to the wrong church and you haven't been around God's people. You've been around his enemies. And this is exactly what they are. They are, if they are hypocrites, if they claim to know God and hate people, and treat people with contempt and bitterness and judgment, they're not living in the kingdom of God. You need to be around people who are living in the kingdom of God. They have his joy and his happiness and his fullness. And you need to be around Jesus himself. That's why the verse, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other things, those will be added to you. The human condition is only resolved by one thing, knowing what you want. You know what you want? You want the kingdom of God. I'll prove it to you. Those other things that you think you want, as you get them, they will not be what you want. Once you get those things, you will want something else. And you'll get that thing, and you will want something else. And you'll get that thing, and you'll want something else. And then maybe you won't get a thing, and then you'll think, well, that's the thing I want. How silly. It's the kingdom of God. That's what fills the human heart. That's what cures the human condition. The fullness of Jesus' eternal life. And it comes slowly. It comes by being with God and His people. And I invite you to do so this morning. Make a decision to dedicate your life to this one goal, to seek the kingdom. Anybody who seeks will find. Anybody who knocks, the door will be open. And so be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we thank you. Father, we pray for eternal life that comes by the grace of you, Jesus, and only by that. And we pray, God, that you would fill the deepest heart. And Lord, so many of us are suffering. So many of us feel empty, broken, fragmented. I pray that your love, your goodness, and your grace would heal the heart of every person who listens to me, even now, by your power, by your Holy Spirit. Heal the broken heart. Heal the suffering. Encourage those who feel hated or disliked or gossiped about. Heal us and love us, Lord, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Privilege it's been this morning to be with you all. If you have any desire this morning for prayer, you need someone to pray with you or talk to someone or make some kind of a prayer decision for the Lord, we have ministering elders here who would be happy to talk with you and pray with you. Also, I just want to tell you, for all of those of you who are suffering and struggling, to hang on. Don't give up hope. Don't throw away tomorrow and know that the Lord is with you even now. And I will give a benediction this morning and a blessing to all of you and those of you watching on television. Know that the Lord's love and blessing is with you and that a better day is coming. And now, the Lord is blessing you and keeping you. The Lord is causing His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord is lifting His countenance upon you. And the Lord is giving you shalom. He's giving you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Heeft u ook zo genoten van deze toespraak van Bobby Schuller? U kunt nu live aanwezig zijn bij een van zijn toespraken, want Bobby komt naar Nederland.
There is nothing you can do to earn God's love. Nothing, nothing in the whole world.
Dit is uw unieke kans om Bobby uw vragen te stellen of met hem te bidden. Kom naar een van deze bijzondere Hour of Power avonden. 24 april in Alphen aan de Rijn, 25 april in Apeldoorn en 26 april in Stadskanaal. Met prachtige samenzang en muziek. En ontmoet Bobby Schuller live. Bestel nu uw toegangskaarten. Ga naar onze webwinkel of bel ons. Een Hour of Power avond met Bobby Schuller. Binnenkort bij u in de buurt.
U heeft het gezien en u kunt er en jij kunt er ook bij zijn. 24, 25 en 26 april als Robbie Schuller een bezoek brengt aan Nederland. En ik denk zeker dat hij voor overvolle kerken in Alphen aan de Rijn, Apeldoorn en Stadskanaal zal spreken. Daarvoor op 19 april is al dominee Tony Campolo geweest die in Hoofddorp zal spreken. Heel veel activiteiten bij Hour of Power. Zo ook de reis naar de Crystal Cathedral op 30 mei. Velen hebben zich al aangemeld en we gaan samen beleven wat het is om de kerkdienst mee te maken. Om de mensen van de Crystal Cathedral, zoals dominee Bobby Schuller, Don Nguyen en het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, het orkest te ontmoeten en veel dingen samen te doen. Kortom, het wemelt van de activiteiten. We zijn blij met de sprekers die naar Nederland komen. En we zijn vooral blij met u en jou als kijker. Want dat is hard nodig. Uw steun, uw medeleven, uw gebed. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En ik hoop tot volgende week op Eerste Paasdag.
And if I gave